The best lessons you will ever learn from God is in the silent moments when you get still and look up and listen to Him. You'll learn far more in those moments than you ever will on the mountaintop shouting. It's when you've been driven with your back against the wall with nowhere else to go and nowhere else to turn, and all of a sudden you cry out in desperation and God says, I've been trying to get you still.
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan, speaking about God leading us to places where we must learn to rely totally on Him, on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are times when we are certain that we are following God's direction, but it leads us into what appears to be impossible situations, where we find ourselves going around in circles and entering dead-end streets. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Owen Duncan looks to Exodus chapters 13 and 14 to illustrate that there are great discoveries to be made when God doesn't appear to make sense. He speaks of Jesus as our companion, the Holy Spirit as our guide, and the Bible as our roadmap. And he urges us not to be afraid when we find ourselves in seemingly impossible places, to stand still, listen for the voice of God, see the Lord's salvation, and to begin moving forward in faith.
Let me ask you this. Is it possible to follow the leadership of the Lord and be on target with Him and end up going around and around in circles? Is it possible to be on target in following the leadership of the Lord and end up on a dead-end street? Is it possible? Now, some of the TV preachers won't tell you this, but is it possible to be in step, in tune, following the leadership of the Lord and end up next to a dry hole and you feel like all the spiritual, everything is just drying up around you? And be exactly in the will of God. All right, let's answer that question from the Word of God. Exodus 13. Exodus 13. I guess if I was going to title this anything, it would be When God Doesn't Make Sense. And I say that in relationship to us. God always makes perfect sense because God is perfect and God makes no mistakes. But to us sometimes, God doesn't make sense. And I want us to look at some things tonight when God doesn't make sense. Exodus 13, and let's begin with verse 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now drop down to verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. Now what is this saying? To lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. In other words, they were following exactly where God said to go. Is that clear? It's clear right here in the Word of God. Now, drop down in the next chapter, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-hahiroth, before Migdal, and the sea opposite Baal-zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Now, drop down to verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Now understand this. Here they were with the Red Sea in front of them, mountains on both sides, totally, completely hemmed in, at a complete dead standstill with nowhere to go. and the army coming up behind them. And the Lord had led them. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't see it at the moment. But the pillar of cloud, you remember back in chapter 13 right there at the end, had led them by day and the pillar of fire by night. They had followed that, and God led them there because He was up to something. Now let me say this and understand what I'm going to say, and we're going to finish reading some scriptures. It is possible to go around in circles to be out of God's will. Because of being out of God's will, you go around and around in circles. It is possible to be out of God's will and end up on a dead end street. But it is also very possible to be in the center of God's will, following His will, and be going around and around in circles. And I'll show you that in a moment. And it's possible to be following God and end up at a total, complete dead end with nowhere else to go, hemmed in and hemmed in. So verse 9, the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, listen at this. Can you feel the sarcasm dripping from their voices? Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? In other words, Moses, didn't we tell you in Egypt? Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, I want you to understand this. It is a fact that God leads His children. Amen? And notice verse 21, the Lord went before them by a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. And we read in the New Testament in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's a direct fulfillment of what Jesus had told His disciples, that when I'm gone, He's going to come. That is a Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who walks beside you, and He will guide you into all truth. Now, let me ask you this. Has this ever happened to you? You know that you know you're God's child. You know that you've surrendered everything you know to surrender to Him. You're seeking His will. And as best you can discern His will and know it, you're following it as closely as you can, and then suddenly you end up on a detour. Or you end up on a dead-end street. And you're saying, this is not what I expected. I was following God, and I was going down this road, and everything was looking great, and all of a sudden, I've been deflected to a detour. I'm at a dead end. Or you find yourself in the midst of a dry, barren place. Now, there are those who will jump up and down and say, you're out of God's will. You missed God's leading. Better be careful what we attribute to God. Amen? I know of an incident where there was a man whose dad was declared to be terminally ill by the doctors. It was very apparent he was dying and was just had an extremely short time to live. There was a man from a particular church that came in and said, God has told me your dad is going to be healed. Your dad is going to get well. And it was like the next day or two he died. They said, relatives of this man, that you can't get this man to get within 50 yards of a church after that. You better be careful what you attribute to God. Now, these facts, I do know that God does lead us, and we're on the King's Highway, and it's a journey of joy with Jesus as our companion, the Holy Spirit as our guide, and the Bible as our roadmap. And yet, there are many times on this journey that things do not turn out the way we expect. And the reason for that is because there are some lessons that God is wanting to teach us, and we can learn these lessons from the way God led Israel into or to the promised land. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, some detour discoveries. But let's go back to verse number 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, because God said, perhaps the people have changed their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Now underscore in verse number 18. So God led the people around. The King James Version says about. Do you know what that word literally means in Hebrew? It means in circles. But let me share this with you. Do you think God has lost his sense of direction? Do you think that God suddenly doesn't know what he's doing? That he's leading the children of Israel around and around in circles? God didn't make a mistake, and God didn't lose his sense of direction. There was a divine detour in the plan of God for a definite purpose in the heart and the mind of God. There are times that a straight line may be the shortest point or distance route between two points, but it may not be the best route. You see, God knew that if he led them right into the camp of the army of the Philistines, who were warlike, they'd be discouraged and turn back and give up. Now, understand, later on, they'd be ready to fight the Philistines. You can read it in the Old Testament. They did later on fight the Philistines and defeated the Philistines. But at this particular point, they needed a boot camp. You know what boot camp is? You understand that God knows what we're ready to face, and he will never throw us into the fight until we're ready for the fight. You see, God has a land of blessing, a land of fulfillment for you. He has a job for you to do, but he may have you in the wilderness going around and around in circles at this time, and you don't understand. It does not necessarily mean that you're out of his will or that you're not following the map. There's a need for boot camp. I know the army, some of the guys that used to be in the army, some of you may know what I'm talking about. They used to have what they call 90-day wanders. Anybody ever heard of that? In the military, they grab up a guy, they send him for 90 days, and they make an officer out of him, and he bypasses 4 years at West Point. In other words, they declare him a first lieutenant. Now, I haven't been in the military, but I've heard former soldiers talk about these 90-day wanders. Some of them eventually turn out good after some years of experience. But what a seasoned soldier wants to know when he goes into the fight, is this old boy tough? Is this old boy disciplined enough to know what he's doing so that I can capably have confidence in him and follow him? In God's work, there's no fast and easy way to the top. The boot camp for the children of Israel was the wilderness, where there was hardness, where there was thirst and rugged terrain. Anybody that's ever been through boot camp will tell you it's not a piece of cake. God is not in a hurry. He sent Moses into the wilderness for 40 years before Moses was ready to lead the children of Israel out. He sent Paul for a long extended period of time in the Arabian desert. But you see, our problem so many times today is that we're infected with the spirit of our age. And if we're not out there doing and achieving something every minute, we feel like we're losing out. And sometimes God may want us to go around in circles. You say, preacher, that's crazy. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They were following God, and they ended up going around and around in circles. Now, the important thing is this, not that you always know where God is taking you, but that you know that he knows and you follow him. You see, that's the key. Here's the good part that I want to pass on to you tonight. You may have been on a detour, but you're not alone on that detour if you're following his leadership. The Bible says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. This is beautiful symbols, types of the Holy Spirit. After God redeems us, he sends the Holy Spirit to guide us. And Corrie ten Boom said this, I love it. She said, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. You see, God has a plan if you're following His will. And you say, Pastor, I know that to the best of my knowledge and my ability, I have discerned His will for my life, and I have followed that, but I just seem like I'm ending up in a detour or going around in circles. Let me assure you that God is, in fact, indeed up to something in your life. He's not in a panic. He's got a plan, and He's going to work that plan out. It is possible to go in circles because you're out of God's will or to go on a detour out of God's will, but it's also very likely, amen, being God's will and end up that way. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is dead-end discoveries. Now, it's wonderful when the detour ends, amen? And you're back on the main road, you know where you're going, and you're comfortably moving toward your destination. But that didn't happen to the children of Israel. It didn't happen that way. Look at verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea. Now here's the situation. The sea is in front of them, the mountains are on each side, and the army is coming up on their rear. Now understand, they were still being led by the cloud by day and the fire by night. Amen? God's light led them to this dead end. Now, did they say, isn't it marvelous all those miracles in Egypt? God did so many good things down there. And we serve a great big God. I know it's an impossible situation, but hallelujah, praise the Lord. Don't you remember how He freed us in Egypt? He'll make a way somehow. No, they didn't do that. Look at verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, why have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us? Didn't we tell you down there to let us alone? We would have been better off serving them. They didn't understand that God was up to something in their dead end, and God was using them as bait. You see, old Pharaoh sitting down there, God had to deal with him in judgment. You see, the Egyptians had to learn something about God, and so did the people of God have to learn something about God. So God was using His children, even though they couldn't understand it at the moment, bringing them, leading them to a dead end, nowhere else to go, totally hemmed in, so that He could bait Pharaoh down there, and Pharaoh would say, ha, ha. So he got his chariots, his army, all of his forces together and took off after them. Now, let me say this. In life, we're going to encounter situations that are not just aggravating, but we're going to encounter situations that will push you right up against the wall. Now, have you been there? You're going to encounter some things that are not just irritating, not just aggravating, but are going to drive you against the wall. And in frustration, you're going to wonder, has God deserted me? Have I missed God? Did God make a mistake or me? And I think I know who it was. It just could be that neither made a mistake, that God was up to something. Now, why does God lead people in these kind of situations? Why did He lead the children of Israel here? I'm going to tell you exactly why. So that the place of desperation would become a place of dependence. In other words, He was saying, I want you to learn that when you're the most desperate and you have nowhere else to go, then you turn to Me and I will show you who I am. And I'll give you a testimony for the rest of the world. When we see absolutely no way out and we have to cast ourselves completely on Him, there is where He wants us to be so that then He can reveal to us His will and we can follow it. God told them exactly what to do. Now here they were with the sea in front of, the mountains on each side, the Egyptian army coming up, and God said, here's what you to do. Look at verse number 13. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today, for the Egyptians whom you see today shall see again no more tomorrow. Why? Verse 14, because the Lord is going to fight for you. Now four things God said do. Four things. First off, He said, don't be afraid. Now, they had plenty of reasons to be afraid, amen? I think about the pastor's son who committed suicide, and he had a severe chemical imbalance, and the pastor that was relating this incident said that this particular pastor had always taught that the sufficiency of Jesus was good enough for any situation, that Jesus would be there. And he made this statement to this pastor. He said, "I've learned one thing, there's nothing to fear. The reason I know that is I believe that I've met the worst that Satan could dish out, and I've discovered that Jesus is still sufficient." Did you know the words "fear not" or their equivalent are mentioned? How many times do you think they'd be mentioned in the Word of God? How about 365 times? The words "fear not" or their equivalent. You know what that means? For every day of the year, God's got a "fear not" for us. A "fear not." The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, the problem, listen carefully, is that we're so manipulating and conniving, and finally we get to the place where we're hemmed in and our wits in and we're forced to look up. It is wonderful to be in a shouting service. I'd love to have one every Sunday, amen? It doesn't bother me. You know, it's a lot easier to restrain a fanatic than it is to resurrect a dead person. That's what Vance Abner said. You know, I'd love to be in a shouting service. I love to see people get excited. I love to see things happen. But I'm going to be dead level straight, gut level honest with you tonight. The best lessons you will ever learn from God is in the silent moments when you get still and look up and listen to Him. You'll learn far more in those moments than you ever will on the mountaintop shouting. It's when you've been driven with your back against the wall with nowhere else to go and nowhere else to turn, and all of a sudden you cry out in desperation and God says, "I've been trying to get you still. I've been trying to get you to quit your conniving and your manipulating and your moving and your working and your activity and just slow down and listen to me." So don't be afraid is the first thing He said. Second thing He said is stand still. Now, you can't keep your feet still when your heart's racing with fear. I'll guarantee you. Be still and know that I'm God. Stand still. This advice runs contrary to the spirit of this age. I think about the man that I heard of recently that was to be a restaurant manager. And the fellow that owned a series or several restaurants, it was over him, and he had given him the job to manage this restaurant. He said, "If something goes wrong in that restaurant," he said, "do something. If it's the wrong thing, do something." Isn't that the spirit of this age? Sometimes when we just do something, we might do something wrong. Did you hear about the story that, you know, the story in the Bible of the pigs that were demon possessed because Jesus cast the demons out of the man, and they said, don't let us go to the abyss, but would you put us in that herd of swine over there?" And Jesus said, "Okay." And He cast the demons into the herd of pigs, and they rushed over headlong to destruction. And somebody said, one pig looked at another one and said, "Look, we're in a real mess, but whatever we do, let's stay together and keep moving." And that's the philosophy of the world. Let's just do something. Let's keep moving. But sometimes God says, stand still. The third thing God said do was see the Lord's salvation. Now, one commentator I was reading behind said that seeing salvation when you're standing still, what he's referring to here is seeing it before it happened. In other words, it's an exercise of faith. There's a time when we have to stop and say, "I refuse to be afraid. I am not going to fear. And I stop and I place my life in Your hands, dear Lord. And I'm trusting You." I don't know if you've ever been driven there. I have. There are times in my life when, out of desperation and things that I know in my soul and my heart, I just have to say, "God, I'm trusting You. And I refuse to be afraid. I stop and I place my life in Your hands again, dear Lord." See the Lord's salvation. The fourth thing He said was move forward in faith. Now note that God did not act until the Israelites had obeyed in faith to cease their fear and to stand still. Now after they had refocused their faith, then They move forward, and God said to Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now, understand there's no contradiction between God's commands to stand still and move forward. It's when we've come to that place of rest and confidence, whereby in faith we see God in action, then we can move forward and reap the benefits of that faith. Are you there now? I hope I didn't lose your confusion. But when we follow God as best we can and we end up in that dead end, it's because He's up to something. And when we stop, stand still, and by faith begin to see what He can do, that's when He begins, and we move out in faith, that's when He begins to move mountains and make a way in the wilderness. You see, when the Israelites had learned the lessons of the dead end, God opened a way before them where there was no way before. God said to Moses, lift up the rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In other words, God turned the dead end, that dead end, into an 8-lane superhighway right through the middle of the Red Sea. But it was not until He got them hemmed up where there was nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go, but to look up to Him, totally desperate, saying, God, we're sunk, and unless You step in, we're gone. Has God ever got you to that place in your life? You see, the important thing in life is not that you know what God knows, because that'll never happen. But the important thing for us is to keep following God's light and the pillars of cloud by day, and to know that He's still on the throne. Now, you say, okay, they ended up on a detour, they got off of that, and then all of a sudden they end up on a dead end. But God's not through with them yet. Now turn over to chapter 15. I want you to see this. Verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Now understand, the pillar of cloud is still leading them by day and the pillar of fire by night. Moses is following the pillar of cloud. The children of Israel are following the pillar of cloud. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Do you think God knew that? Do you think all of a sudden God was just limited in His knowledge and said, oops, I didn't mean to lead them there? Of course not. I'm not being irreverent when I say that. God knew what He was doing, and He knew where He was leading them. And they went 3 days in the wilderness following the leadership of God and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they finally got to a place and they said, oh boy, here's some water. And they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, in Hebrew meaning bitter. And do you think that the people said, oh, wonderful now. Wonderful. You know, God made a way through the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another situation. Let's just see what God's going to do this time. We serve a big God. No. Look at verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, understand this. The Bible says that God proved His people at Marah. You know what a proving ground is? General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, automobile manufacturers, when they roll out a new model, before they roll it out for the public, I mean, they put a model together and they take it down to the proving grounds. And on the proving grounds, they put it through the most grueling tests that they can come up with to determine, is that model going to cut it when it gets out into the public? If there's any bugs or flaws, we want to find them on the proving grounds. That's what God was doing. He proved His children at Marah, we're told in the Word of God. Now, Israel was not here by this dry hole and this bitter hole because God was angry with them or because of Moses' poor leadership. They were there because God led them there. And how did they do on the test? Verse 24 makes it clear. They murmured. Now, what does God say about murmuring? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the opening verses, Paul warns about murmuring. Listen, peruse those verses in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians And you will find, listen, you'll find lust in verse 6, idolatry in verse 7, fornication in verse 8, tempting God in verse 9, and murmuring in verse 10. Listen to what it says. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, with all the Israelites had going for them and the light of God's guidance and presence, why did they complain? Let me tell you that it was a total lack of faith and reason. Now, let's be reasonable. Would God have brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea so wonderfully only to bring them to a dry hole and let them die? Would He? Or to bring them to a place and let them suffer without a reason? That doesn't make sense. Now I want to ask you a question tonight. If Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and has saved you, do you think that He saved you to abandon you? Do you think that God has invested so much in you to let you go? That doesn't make sense. Check out Romans 8:32 in the last verses of Romans 8. When Paul talked about all the bad things that can come up against us, and he said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor present powers, you know, above, beneath, powers in the past, things the present, things to come. Nothing, Paul said, absolutely nothing is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody said there are oftentimes two classes of people in church, those who complain and those who pray. The people murmured, Moses went to the Lord, and God showed Moses a tree to throw into the bitter waters. Do you remember that? He said, cut down the tree, throw it in. That tree is a beautiful symbol of what God did for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the tree. Let me share this with you. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was suddenly arrested. The Russian dissident, you've read about him, he's written books, very brilliant man, a Christian. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn suddenly arrested and sent to a labor camp in Siberia in his own testimony, his own story, by Stalin's secret police. He was tortured in his mind and his body, and he thought, does anyone even know where I am? He said, I felt totally alone and desolated. And he said, then is when I said, I'm going to kill myself. And he said he made plans for suicide. On the day that Alexander Solzhenitsyn planned to take his life, he was sitting on the ground when another prisoner walked by and looked at him. And apparently this other prisoner could read through his eyes what was taking place in his soul. And the prisoners were forbidden to speak to one another. But this other prisoner walked over next to Alexander, knelt on the ground, and just made a cross in the dirt and walked away without saying a word. Alexander said, my heart began to sing with newfound hope. And he said, within 1 week, I was a free man. He said, it turned out that people all around the world that I was not even aware of was praying for my release. And he said this, to think I was about to commit suicide and within 1 week I was free. You may be camped beside a dry hole right now wondering why God has forsaken you. I want to tell you something. God has not forsaken you. He's proving you. He brought you to that dry place. It's right on the map He's drawn for your life. Don't complain. Calvary is always sufficient. The cross, Jesus, is always enough. You see, there's an interesting thing here. If you look in verse 27 of chapter 15, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the water. You see, while they were at Marah, they didn't know that just one more day down the road, there was an oasis. 70 palm trees, 70 judges in Israel that could had a palm tree to sit under, wells of water, 12 wells of water, one for each of the tribes of the children of Israel. You see, God was trying to teach them lessons by their detours, their dead ends, and their dry holes. God has some wonderful lessons for us. Have you camped out next to a dry hole? Have you ever been on a detour? Have you ever ended up at a dead end? And you wondered, Lord, what in the world is happening? Lord, I've missed it somewhere. You see, God may be just getting ready to bring you out into the most glorious oasis you've ever seen in your life, just like He had for the children of Israel. Let's stand quietly and reverently. Heavenly Father, someone in this building has perhaps been contemplating just giving up, just throwing in the towel, just saying, what's the use? And Father, I pray that this message would be a message of encouragement, that Lord, sometimes, following You really isn't a bed of roses. Ultimately, through it all, over the span of a lifetime, and definitely compared to eternity, it's a wonderful way, it's a glorious way. But Father, sometimes You lead Your children through the fire. Sometimes You lead them through the flood. But Lord, one thing we know, You lead them all through the blood. Father, someone that needs encouragement, I pray You lift their heart. God, thank You. Thank You that we have You to lean on and trust, and You're always dependable and trustworthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Donald Owens leading the congregation in a hymn of invitation as Pastor Duncan closed his message on understanding when God doesn't appear to make sense on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this program has ministered to you in some way today. If you'd like to hear this message again on cassette or compact disc, write to us at Post Office Box 1000, Ellenboro, North Carolina 28040. Please let us know which format you wish to receive when you write to us at the Liberty Pulpit, Post Office Box 1000, Ellenboro, North Carolina 28040. And now on behalf of Pastor Owen Duncan and everyone at Liberty Baptist Church, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you.